Oh, hello there.
What is this noise?
Well, I mean, I can see what you're doing.
Yeah, what can you see though? But you don't know what you can see.
Bag
what,
of crisps.
What oh, you're close, Crest, but you're not quite close enough. This is a bag of vegetables. Vegetable crisps.
Oh.
Root vegetable crisps.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Yes,
a
I have.
Idea. Can you guess the vegetables in this vegetable bag of crisps?
Parsnips.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of vegetable crisps before. They're not like that. And beetroot.
Yeah. How are you doing this? What's the third one?
Because I've eaten vegetable crisps before. Oh, what would the third one be? Ooh. Trying to bring back
I'll give you a clue.
Just potato?
Oh, I was going to say the clue is going to be it's not potato.
Oh, okay. Come on, let's not drag this out. For goodness sakes, what's the third one?
Sweet potato.
Sweet potato, right, okay. Mm.
There you go.
Right, okay. So that's it's nice you've just discovered vegetable crisps, Martin.
I haven't tried them yet.
Okay.
Basically, I went to the supermarket, just got back from the supermarket, I went for my flu jab. And whilst I was there, they said, oh, can you just walk around the shop for 10 minutes so that we check you're not going to faint?
Do a little catwalk.
So I just thought, I don't know what to do. So I bought a bag of vegetable crisps.
Great. Thank you for that, Martin, for that very strange beginning to the podcast. This is a Eurovision podcast, though we are potentially vegetables. Welcome to Nolpois.
Nolpois is shameful.
Nolpois is lack of respect for Eurovision.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nolpois is no fun.
Yeah, welcome to Nolpois.
What on earth was
that?
I
don't know. So you've never
heard of vegetable crisps before?
I'd heard of them as a concept. I'd never seen them in the wild.
They're actually quite nice. They are quite nice.
I thought they'd be quite healthy, but just reading the thing, I mean, they're not healthy at all.
No,
like loads of fat and loads of sugar. Who puts sugar in crisps?
Mm.
They do, apparently. So they're not healthy at all. They're probably worse than actual crisps. So that's
probably.
That gone.
Well, though, that's just us saying that. We can't verify that. That's they might be better, they might be worse. Who knows? We're not to say.
No. Okay, well, we're not to say. Apparently, that's a state secret. Hello, and welcome to Nolpois. It is a Eurovision fan podcast.
Just don't want us getting sued by vegetable crisps.
Vegetables aren't going to sue us. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
They haven't got lawyers. Yes, it's Martin and Laura here on Nolpois, your Eurovision fan podcast. And we're going to get to talking about Eurovision because we've got some very exciting news. First, though,
yes.
An apology, which is we were a bit late doing this podcast. This is a podcast really that should have come out when we heard some big news and the big news that we'll get to. And then it was meant to come out on Sunday and it's not coming out till today. Apologies, but better late than never,
which is sort of true
of the news we're about to talk about.
Yes, that's very true. Good. Well done, Martin. God, he's a pro sometimes, isn't he? Yes, of course.
I mean, sometimes. Anyway,
yeah, we are a little bit late because I was away in Glasgow. It was a bit hard to record stuff, and then I was getting quite late. So we decided we'd just do it a bit later. We can talk about all that stuff in a moment. But the big news is that yes, we finally have the location for Euro 2022. When I say Euro 2022, I mean Eurovision 2022. But yes, we have the location, and it is Martin.
It's Turin. And well, I've got some great news for you, Cress, which is that for a 1 week in May, you'll be hearing me doing a lot of this. That's the theme tune to the Italian Job, which is set.
Is it set in Turin? I didn't realise that.
Turin.
Oh, well, you're either Turin or Turin out, Martin.
Oh, no. And that's what I'm going to have to put up with for a week as well.
So Turin has been
announced. It is really, really exciting. It was on the list. It certainly wasn't the front runner, though, was it, when we were talking about possible places?
No, we were very much thinking it was going to be in Bologna about 2 months ago when we thought it was going to be announced in the city, and it's been that long. But, I mean, it's not unusual sometimes. It does take this long to confirm host cities, but just the fact that we assume it's going to be a bit earlier than this because there were all these leaks going out it's going to be in Bologna. I mean, I would say that was like the prop probably the runner up, to be fair. But, you know, when you do look at it, I think one of the reasons we could go into a little bit about why Turin maybe bested Bologna. And I think what a couple of sites are saying is that the reason might be because of where RAI, the sort of broadcaster for its Italy and for Italy's Eurovision bid, is based. They're based in Turin, so like their main production office is based in
saving
Turin
them
anyway,
the commute, obviously. Basically.
Yeah, kind of makes a bit of sense that their main production base is where they're going to be doing it. And obviously, it also fits the bill in many other ways. You know, it's a big place. It's got like the airport space. It's got the hotels. Because remember, we went through all those things that you need to have to be a Eurovision host city. And there's quite a lot of requirements. You know, you need to have a big stadium that people are going to be able to you know, go to for the final, but also, you know, you need the hotels, you need the infrastructure, you need the airport. So all these things added up, and I, for one, I'm very excited. I've never been to Turin. Have you, Martin?
No, I've never been to Turin, and like I say, we will need to do a tour of all of the places that feature in the Italian job. That's going to be number one on my list of things to do, as well as eating a load of spaghetti. It's really, really exciting. It's a bit of Italy I've never been to, so I'm very excited for that. I think for the Eurovision family and for the contest, it makes a lot of sense to hold it in a place like Turin. They've got the infrastructure. They've got this base, this hub for making TV shows. It makes an awful lot of sense. Perfect place. Really excited about it. It's a city that hasn't hosted the contest before, which also makes it very exciting. And I should say, alongside the information of the city, the fact that Turin is going to be hosting, we also now know the dates.
Yes.
So you can book your time off work, Cress. Yep. And we can book those flights and those ferries. If we're going by ferry. yeah.
Flights and ferries. What?
So the final going to be held on the 14th of May. That's the Saturday. It's all happening, by the way, at the Pala Olimpico, which presumably is in some sort of Olympic stadium type situation, which should be exciting. And then the semifinals are on the 10th and the 12th of May. So a little earlier, I think, in the month than has been in recent years.
Yes, and you're right there. It was built for the 2006 Winter Olympics, the Pala Olimpico, or Alpitour, it's called. And you know what I'm excited about, Martin, with those dates being announced? As you said, 14th of May is the grand final, semi-finals on the 10th and 12th of May. It means that I don't have to sack off my friend's wedding, because I don't know if you remember.
Oh, it's all about you, isn't it?
I just put in a word to the EBU being like, yeah, actually, could you make it a bit earlier? Because I don't know if you remember, this year my friend was going to have her wedding on the day of the final. And I did sort of have to say, I'll go to the wedding, but this, you know,
I'm going to be annoyed. I'll be at your wedding, yeah, but I will be cross.
I'll be watching it on my phone. Very much like how some people watch sports events at weddings. I was going to request, could we have a Eurovision room with a TV where people can just go in and out and see what's going
on?
Sure,
that would have gone down very well.
Yeah. I mean, none of them. Yeah. All my friends were like, what? Sorry. Why would you be like saying you're not sure if you can go if it's Eurovision? And I was like, well, anyway, it's all fine, because theirs is going to be a week later. So it's great. We could do both. Excellent.
Very, very exciting. There you go. If you have thoughts on Turin, if you've been to Turin, because we will explore Turin in future episodes
we'll do a proper episode.
We will do a proper episode on it and speak to people who live there and that sort of thing, which would be really exciting. But if you've got thoughts, if you've been to Turin, if you live in Turin, if you have any experience of it as a host city for big events, maybe you went to the Winter Olympics in 2006, do let us know, and the details of how you can get in touch with the podcast coming up a little later.
So I've just about recovered from Glasgow, by the way.
Oh, I was gonna ask you about Glasgow.
Yeah, okay. And so I'm sorry we couldn't.
You've just
really
been
record.
Off the absolute radar. You have. You were late this week. You weren't here for the Blinking podcast last week.
I know. Well, because I was in Jersey.
Were you here last week? I don't know what's going on anymore.
I don't know what's going on. Would someone like to tell us? If you just message.
No, you
just,
were just, here last week. It was the week before, wasn't it? Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, it was the week before, though. It's just because we're recording at weird times at the moment. We did We did give a warning about 3 weeks ago or so, just saying, look, it's going to be a bit all over the place at the moment. So we do apologise, but I hope you still, as you can hear, my voice is going as well.
Yeah. How was Glasgow? Was it?
It was really good. Yeah. It was really nice. I was like meeting quite a few people that I'd sort of never really met before, off various things that I'm do. But it was, really lovely. Everyone's just up for a bit of a party, really. I do say we did perhaps make a slight error that we went during the Scotland match against Israel, and Scotland won 3-2. Right. So that
people
night
people in good
was,
good spirits.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, people were. I mean, people were out for madness that night. It was just, it was like sort of traversing a kind of just jungle wilderness. Everything was going on everywhere, and you were just kind of just trying to get through it, basically. But no, really great. I love Glasgow. I'd love to go again, and I'm very happy that we didn't really get that bad weather. It was nice. There was no rain. I was expecting freezing cold rain.
I looked through some of the pictures that you put up, and I saw pictures of you raving, then also pictures of you in a room with loads of cats. I was thinking, I'd hope the two aren't connected.
No, yeah, they just went to a little rave with a cat. Yeah, so we went to this cat cafe.
In
Glasgow.
No.
So it's a cafe.
I don't like them.
You don't like cats?
Well, I don't like cats. And I also don't like, which gets you in a lot of trouble, by the way, if you tell people you don't like cats. Honestly, people have written to me before because I said disparaging things about a cat once within earshot of others.
Oh.
They didn't like it.
Okay.
They didn't like it. Basically, this cat is pooing on my drive. And I know it is. Right? There's a cat in the neighbourhood, and it poos on my front doorstep. And it does.
Is it the owner, a bit like making it go up there? Like,
I don't know.
Go on his drive. Go on.
It's doing it, and I'm not happy about it. I said this, and somebody in earshot, and somebody wrote me a really serious letter telling me that I shouldn't, you know, bad mouth the good name of cats, and that a cat would never do that.
And well, a cat does what it wants.
Well, it did. I've seen it.
What are they suggesting? It's a person or something?
They suggested it was a fox, but it isn't a fox. You know when a fox is
doing a poo. Cats go where they want. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that you had this trauma in your life, Martin, but yeah, I didn't have any of that. It was a normal cafe. You order food, you order drink, and then there's just cats everywhere. There's about 30 cats.
I wouldn't
cats.
Eat any of that food.
Oh, no, I don't. It's all fine. It's just cakes and stuff. It's not, and they have little covers for everything. It's all sanitary. I wouldn't worry about that. But it was cute. I think the funny thing was there's about 30-odd cats. None of them really cared about you at all. They were just having the time of their lives going around because they have all these like different obstacles and stuff for them, and like we were trying to be like, hey, hello, with like sort of bells and like drink like feathers and stuff, and they just were like, whatever, I don't care, just wandering around. So it was quite funny to see, but yeah, it was great. Even with that many cats and humans all together, they were still like, yeah, I'm just gonna do my own thing.
This episode is I don't think we've ever gone off topic for so long on an episode of Null Pot. I'm going to get us right back
onto the
topic of Eurovision now, because I thought it'd be worth doing a little bit of an audit of the countries that are yet to declare, the countries that are going to be declaring soon, and what we know about Eurovision so far at this juncture.
Yes, and it's interesting. Wee Blogs has done a bit of research into this. It's worth just taking a look at, as you said, the countries that have publicly confirmed that they're going to be in Eurovision 2022. There are now 31 countries who have said yes, they're definitely taking part. But there's still some to go that you would expect would be taking part. Now, the initial deadline for participation, that's passed. That was in September, but broadcasters, they can still withdraw until mid-October. And then the EBU, they normally release the confirmed acts. It's normally around sort of November time, isn't it? It's sort of late October, November. But there are still some that we would expect to take part that haven't really given any sign what's going on, including the UK.
Oh, goodness.
The UK hasn't said anything yet, but it's pretty likely it'll take part. Obviously, last year it dropped this sort of Eurovision You Decide format of its national final, and it just internally selected its act. Maybe it's taking a bit more time because it's deciding, is that the best course of action still? They haven't said anything about the selection method yet. So who knows? I mean, they may be busy with Strictly Come Dancing because it's the same team that deal with that. But no word from UK yet. What a shock. Don't you think that would be a shock if they were like, we're not going to take part next year? That would be, we'd have to do a special episode on that.
We would, wouldn't we? God.
Several.
I can't think of another thing, a big European thing that the UK has pulled out of recently that would cause such a stir. Pretty big.
Are you you're being a bit political there?
Yeah, it was just a little political joke there. I thought that was good.
I like that. That was good.
Yeah, it was satire, and it was great. That's what the sort of clever jokes you get on this podcast. Okay. Well, we're going to watch that one then and make sure that we're across it. And if anything big like that happens, you're going to hear about it at least 4 days later here on Norpois. In the meantime, speaking of listening to things and listening to them maybe a little later than you should, last podcast we were talking about new music from Måneskin, due to come out with this song, which I am pronouncing Mamamia. It's just Mamma Mia, but that's it. It's one word, so it's Mamma Mia. In fact, you say Mamma Mia, and then I'll do a thing. So, ready?
Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia. I don't need to do the whole bloody thing. For God's sakes,
they got it. It's out, and here's what it sounds like. Okay, there we go. Well, it's not a cover.
No, it's not. It's the...
of ABBA.
It's not a cover of ABBA. It certainly is not a cover of ABBA. It's actually their... as you said, it's their new single. It's the first brand new single since Ziti I Buoni, their Eurovision winning song. Because remember, they did do other covers. They obviously did Begging, which was a huge hit for them as a cover, you know, over across TikTok and all that kind of thing. It's the new single from, you know, I Want to Be Your Slave as well. But what thoughts on it, Martin? What do you think of it? It's no ABBA, as you say.
No, but what it is, I would say, is more accessible for the likes of me, who maybe wasn't into like anything too extreme. It's raw, it is racy. But for me, as someone who doesn't like loads and loads of rock, and I don't like it too aggressive, I can get on board with this song.
Yeah, it does. It reminds me, you know, obviously it's very sort of in that sort of a similar style as I Want to Be Your Slave and Ziti I Buoni. It's still got that raciness to it. It's still got the sexiness to it. A lot of the lyrics are very, oof, my goodness me. I do like the line, they ask me why I'm so hot because I'm Italiano. I like that a lot. I don't know if this is a cheeky little wink at ABBA, but the ending lyrics are Place Your Love on Me, which sounded quite a lot like Lay All Your Love on Me.
Your love on me, yeah.
So I don't know if that was a little nod to it. Probably not. They're just probably, you know, I don't think they think too much about this kind of stuff. But it's all pretty sexy and fun, isn't it? I would say I probably prefer I Want to Be a Slave. I think it's got a bit more of a hook to it. But it's another great song. They've already been playing this on their tour that they've just started, playing this out, and it's got good reactions. So more of that to come, I imagine. It's looking good for them, isn't it? It's just, again, I mean, if you look at all their Instagram stuff, it just shows they're just doing their own thing, aren't they? They just know what they're doing. They know what sells. They know what their audience want, and they're just running with it.
Yeah, and interestingly as well, no video yet, which I find, because very often you'll get the video and the song released at the same time. A big thing about Måneskin is this image that they portray, and I would have expected a video alongside. Haven't got it yet, which a part of me likes that. Part of me says, you know what, just enjoy the music first.
Yes.
Get to enjoy the song, and then we'll do a video later.
Yeah, it's probably just the editor like, oh God, I haven't got it ready yet, so they're just like, it's fine, we'll pass it off as a stylistic choice. That's what we wanted. We'll be interested to see what that video is like. I mean, they have posted, I don't think these are pictures from the video shoot necessarily, but they have posted some pictures on their official Instagram where they're all naked, basically.
What a surprise.
And it's all very sweaty and goodness. But yes, so whether that's from the shoot or whether that's just a photo shoot, I don't know if it's from the video, who knows, but check that out if you want to see that. And tell us what you think about the song as well. Do you like it? Would you prefer some of the previous stuff? Let us know.
Let us know indeed. All right, it's time for something. Do you know what it's time for, Cress?
What? Yeah, no, I don't. What is it time for?
Oh, well done. You pretty much got it right there. I'm not even going to correct you because it's time for Trivia Time!
Because I was about to shout Trivia Time.
I know, and you pulled it back. So well done. Yes, it's Trivia Time. It's the bit of the podcast where Laura or I tell you a fact about the Eurovision Song Contest that you... The Eurovision Song Context is what I said there. The Eurovision Song Contest, which you may not have known. And I thought it might be worth, in this particular Trivia Time, going back to the last time that Italy hosted. Because we've spoken about it a few times before on Nullpot, because it was just mad and bonkers.
Yeah,
it was in Rome in 1991, and it's sort of known... This song contest is just being a complete shambles. Just everything went wrong. The voting was a complete disaster. They kept on having to hand to the Jon Ola Sand of his time, a guy called Frank Neff. He had to keep sort of clarifying
Mr.
things.
Mr. Neff!
Can you please... It went completely wrong, and that is very well documented. I thought I might just do a little... things that you might not have known about this contest. So, for example, first and last, it was the last time that Yugoslavia performed as Yugoslavia before it broke up, or to give its official title, Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. Because after that, of course, you had all the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia and et cetera, all the different ones as their own countries. It was the first time that Germany performed. And you might be thinking, what the what? It took until 1991 for Germany to perform. Yeah, because before that, it was West Germany.
Right, so okay.
It was the first time that they performed after reunification as Germany and not West Germany. The Netherlands were not in Eurovision that year. And you might think, well, why was that? It was because they were having a Remembrance of the Dead.
Oh,
yeah, so way to bring it down, Netherlands. Yeah, we're not going to perform with it. So it's like a sort of national remembrance day, and I think they felt that it wasn't appropriate to enter a competition. So that, by the way, is on the 4th of May. So if there was ever another final that happened early enough in the month that it landed on the 4th of May, the Netherlands decide not to take part. So that's one worth remembering for the future. In Rome in 1991, Sweden won. So they topped the leaderboard, but a country did get Nullpoint. Any idea which country it was?
I'll
give you a clue. This country has got no points quite a few times, and we've done a YouTube video about a different song.
I don't think it's UK, because I'm pretty sure we got Austria.
Austria is correct. Yeah, yay! Well done. Well done. Yeah, Thomas Forstner and his song "Wendy Dig im Regen," which I think means it's raining in Venice or something. He got absolutely zilcho, nothing, null poi. So there you go. A few little facts about Rome 1991, the last time that Italy hosted the Eurovision Song Contest. They're on Trivia Time.
And I think it's very worth quickly saying, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to add to your Trivia Time.
Oh,
and maybe
go
I'll
ahead,
also
go
shout
ahead.
Trivia Time. Mm. Who knows? Just wanted to say, you were talking about Sweden winning. There was a tie for first place. But because of, we've spoken about the four-way tie of 1969.
Yeah,
the
and they
rules
introduced
were altered.
A rule.
Sweden and France were tied. For the first step in the procedure, they had to check the number of 12-point votes awarded to each country. Sweden and France still tied after that.
Oh, this is so exciting.
But then they counted the number of 10-point votes. Sweden had more and was declared the winner. So technically, France technically won it as well, but they basically went through the number of 12-point votes, then the number of 10. God knows what the next step would have been after that.
Well, 8, I guess.
Going, I suppose,
yeah. 9, 8, 7, 6, all the way down, yeah.
Yeah, Sweden had 5 10-points and France only had 2. They both had 4 douze points, and they were tied at 146 points each, so there you go.
Well, you learn something new every day. Interesting stuff. Almost brings us to the end of this weird old podcast that it's been. Been a proper odd one, hasn't it, really? But a bit of correspondence before that, which is your chance to get in touch and tell Laura and I what you think about various matters that we've been discussing in terms of the Eurovision Song Contest. Maybe you want to talk about vegetable crisps and whether they're ethical. What have people been saying?
We've never been said they're not ethical.
I just thought I'd generate a bit of conversation.
Oh, God.
Bit of zest in the podcast.
Well, you know, you need fruit for crisps for that. I don't think you'd need, anyway. I can't be asked finishing off that joke. But yes, thank you to Jem, who messaged us on Instagram at Norpoir Podcast, just simply saying, see you in Turin, because of the news that we had announced. Yeah, everyone very excited, obviously, about what's been announced there. And loads of, if you look at any sort of Eurovision timelines on Twitter and Instagram, everyone's just going, Turin, Turin, Turin. No one has said my pun about you're either Turin or Turout, so I'm definitely trademarking that. You can't take that. But yeah, basically, it's just been loads of people being excited about going to Turin. Norpoir Podcast is our Instagram tag. If you want to tell us, are you going to be going? Have you already booked tickets? Quite a lot of people, by the way, booking up hotel rooms, Martin, so we might need to get into that quite quickly, because some people just genuinely book off hotel rooms in different cities on different, you know, because you could cancel before without having to pay, and it's kind of mad. If you're one of those people, we'd love to speak to you.
Yeah, we would, but I will berate you.
What's new there? So thank you for that, Jem. If you do want to get in touch with us on Twitter as well, we are just at Poinul on Twitter. You can also email us about, you know, have you listened to Måneskin's new song? Do you like it, Mamma Mia? Will you be going to Turin? Do you know anything about Turin? Can you tell us about the places to go? Email us at nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're enjoying this weird episode, give it a like, give it a share, tell your mates about it, and of course, subscribe to us if you're not already.
Thank you. Do all of those things, and it'd be lovely if you could listen again to the next episode of
Nullpoir.
That you got those crisps flavours correct.
Thank you very much.
You've really gone up in my estimations.